Thank you, Duane, and good evening to all of you, those that are live streaming as well. I'm thankful to be here, and Duane's sermon this morning is kind of an affiliation with the things that I've been thinking and how I have been reflecting back on my life and the things that God has done for me. And I came across the parable of the mustard seed, and I just, in the time that we have, I was reflecting back on what is the kingdom of God like to me. And I hope with this sermon that this is something that all of us can reflect upon, and what it means to you, and what it's done to you, and how it's changed you, and the things that it's created inside of you, and blessed, how the Lord has blessed you, and how it shaped you, how it formed you, how it tempered you, how it tried you, and that happens a lot of times. And one of the things I'm thankful for is how this kingdom of God has really shown me what I look forward to in life, the things I look forward to, and how part of that, as our brother was talking about, the things people do and the risk that they take in their lives, how it bestows courage upon all of us. It should. It should really help us be able to see and understand that as we grow in the gospel, as those things that we do, how it's such a strength to us each and every day. And so I kind of gave it away. I was going to ask the question to everybody onto what is the kingdom of God like? And I have a little example here. It's like this. And Luke chapter 13, verse 19, Christ said, "It is like unto a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast it into his garden and grew it, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged into the branches of it." So I'm going to set this mustard seed right here so everyone can see it. I got to have a joke in every sermon, it seems like. But it really is one of those things that, you know, it's interesting that how much attention such a little thing can draw unto it. And I find it rather remarkable of the things that something so little can accomplish in a lifetime that it has, that we have, how something that may seem so insignificant to an individual can have such a huge purpose, can provide, can shelter, can do all these things that God intended it to do. And that's where I was reflecting on the thankfulness that I have for the things that the Lord has provided. And it's kind of a bittersweet time in my life as we go through these days. We've already lost one of our children to independence, I would say. She's now embarking on a new chapter in her life with a dear friend, Priscilla. We all love both of them. And it really is interesting how the dynamics of the household have changed in a matter of a few weeks with my daughter moving out. As a matter of fact, I know that, and I love you to death, Brooke, and I was just amazed at how clean our guest bathroom is. Oh, it was Eric. Okay. But it is really fascinating to where, like, you know, you see the things that unfold right in front of your eyes, but really there's things that are impressed upon you emotionally, and it's different, and we have to readjust, and we have to change, and consider things and things that can happen. There's a part of me that worries, but then again, there's a part of me that knows that the Lord has given His Spirit to be with her and to be able to give her courage in this world in which she's embarking into. And mom and I aren't going to be there all the time. And, you know, same goes for our son. And that's going to be another big chapter that's going to change here in the near future with their lives. And it's just interesting to see how the Lord has prepared each of us to be able to deal with the things of the world and to see the things that He can do in our lives and how He operates and how He wants us to be able to see His greatness and His ability to be able to show the perfection that He can perform within us if we allow Him to. And this change that we have, it's going to be a wonderful thing to be able to see. It is a wonderful thing to be able to see your kids grow and to be able to understand the ways of the Lord, be able to apply that to their new worlds, their new lives, their new friends, their new acquaintances in the environments and in the societies that they are going to embark into. And I'm thankful for that. And it all originates, you know, it originates from the congregation, the mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters, the aunts, the uncles, cousins, all of us coming together and having a relation in this beautiful thing that God has given us, such as the church. And I think of how, you know, everybody has provided. Everybody here has that desire to nurture, to help each other, to edify and to guide and direct, to share testimonies and examples. And it's an ongoing thing. And these are the things that help us be able to grow. And these are the things that the beauty of the gospel shows us and how this tiny little thing can change each and every one of us in our lives and can help us grow and to prosper and to be able to provide for others the way to the Lord. But it all starts off in such a simple and small little manner. And if I can get my slide to change. Here we go. And I wanted to read in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." And I just put this up here as a reference for this tiny little seed here, and it is a representation of the kingdom of heaven and how it started. And it all started in such a small, little, humble beginning. And that's one of the things that I was reflecting upon, is how everything began with me and how the Lord has flourished within my heart, within my mind, within my soul. And it really helped me be able to understand that there is so much fruit to be able to bear for the Lord. And this all started 24, 25 years ago, a quarter of a century, which is really, it's hard to fathom how fast things go by, but, you know, such is the way of life. And, you know, I think about the individuals and the sacrifices that have been made. Our brother talked about an individual, Charlie Kirk, this morning, and these things that individuals do and the places they go. And just sitting with Hubert yesterday and how it's always one of the first things, his priority to be able to share with you situations that he embarked on, and praises God for because of how God has blessed him. And these are things that are reiterated. These are things that we see that happen throughout the world, the places that people go, the blessings that they receive, the protections that they receive. These are all the things that help us be able to flourish within inside of ourselves, to see how good God is, how He protects His people, how no matter how small you feel, that each of us are significant in his eyes. And a typical mustard seed is 1 to 2 millimeters big. It's tiny. It's the tiniest little thing. But it's interesting how, oh, I rolled and I shouldn't have. It's interesting how the proportion of its size and how much it multiplies and increases as it grows. It's almost astronomical of how much potential one little seed has. But I believe that God sees each and every one of us like that. And a lot of times we don't realize that ourselves, how much potential we actually have within inside of ourselves and in this life that the Lord gives us. It's amazing what you can see and observe when you see God working in your life and how much potential and impact you actually have that God gives you. And it might seem tiny at first and you don't understand and you can't figure things out, but God's Spirit, if you're willing to open it up to Him, He is there to be able to show you that the gospel itself provides example upon example of how these things come to fruition. We look at our Lord and Savior ourselves, and we see how, you know, this miraculous birth was given to us. Even Christ Himself was brought into the world as a child. And what did He do? He's changed everything for us because of His plan of redemption. You know, He is the best example that we have in things in which He's done and in which He's accomplished and which He still does in our lives. And He's proven all of that. And one of the things that I like to do and I like to share is the correlation of how the Lord takes people that, again, had no knowledge of the gospel, really didn't have an understanding, had to be taught, had to understand, had to learn by trial and error, and became something great as well to be able to share the gospel. And it continues on to this day. And Christ Himself, you know, He took unlearned fishermen. They had no idea about the gospel and the what Christ had expected of them. And they created this thing and they walked with Him and they talked with Him and they learned and they grew and they prospered in the gospel and they brought others to the gospel. It's a plan that God had for them. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. We go through different seasons in our lives. We go through different seasons in our environment. And I really love this time of year. I love planting my ryegrass. I don't like so much the time it takes to put into that, but the efforts are rewarding. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I preached about in the past is planting ryegrass. And I got after it a little bit early this year, and I am so thankful for that. I really was anxious to be able to watch the weather and to time it and to get the most out of it. And I think that's a lot that falls into place, being proactive with the gospel so you can get the most out of it. And I'm thankful because 2 weeks ago Tuesday, the grass was planted in my yard and efficiently and sufficiently. It's growing in my yard, it's growing in my rocks, it's growing in the cracks now. And it's because typically, man, I haven't seen this much rain in a long time. And that's what I'm thankful for is that, boy, once that rain comes down, it's the rain that's provided from the heavens that God gives to us. And there's no other nutrients like it. Those things from which God gives us, there's nothing else like it. And it brings a different kind of life into us and into the grass. And I'm thankful for that. It's interesting to see how one can take such an interest in something that is so small and insignificant. And I think about that and how the gospel was to me prior to coming to the church. It was insignificant in my life. It had no impact on me whatsoever. I found no pleasure in it whatsoever. And I relate that to just how planting seed in the grass is. If you really take time and you understand it and the beauty of it, you really get to see how it helps you be able to enjoy the things of life that much more. And so I'm one of those nerds that I am like out there every day. If I see a little spot that's a little too dry, here I am. I'm adjusting my sprayer on the hose to make sure the water doesn't push the seeds out of place. And it's really something that I treat delicately, and because I want to be gentle with it, because I don't want to disturb it from where it's at. And I think God does that with us as well, with His Spirit, that He knows. He knows each and every one of us and how we need to be treated. And a lot of times when we first embark on the gospel, you know, when we start off, it's one of those things that He really understands what's needed of each of us and how to provide that to us. And a lot of that comes from God and through His Spirit. And just like with these individuals, the time when He approached Peter and Simon, you know, I can't imagine how they felt. Like, it would be amazing to be able to see and to be a part of that time and to be able to walk with Jesus and to be able to see how He worked and how He spoke to people and how He shared His love personally on that personal level. But each of us, He knows each of us that are a child of His. He knows us and He sees us and He provides for us still to this day. And I wanted to read in Matthew 4, 18, 22. And this is how it all started, in a way. It says, "And Jesus walked," this is verses 18 through 22. It says, "And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." And my hope is that with the things that we do in our lives and the impression that the Lord puts upon our heart, that we can inspire others to be able to follow after Christ, to be able to see that He can make such big changes out of small things. He makes little problems go away. He makes big problems go away if we put our trust in Him. And so it all takes a part on our side and with inside of us to be able to make these things happen and to create this impact of the Spirit in our lives that will be provided to others as well and impact others' lives. And it brought me to Alma 16, verses 152 through 153. But this whole lesson on comparing the Word of God to a seed, it's a very good read, and it really kind of sums up, you know, how this all develops. And verses 152 and 153 says, "Now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart," you have to do that. That's the first thing that you have to do, is give the opportunity for the Lord's Spirit to be able to work with you. And this is one of the things where I encounter people, and it's just, you have to ask when they're having problems and they come to me. It's, you have to open up your heart to the Lord and ask Him to be able to do something for you. You have to let Him plant that seed inside of you. You know, this is something that we strive to do for the Lord, that we try to have people see the opportunities in which God is desiring to do work in their lives and to open themselves unto that. And it says, "Behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed," if you're sincerely asking the Lord in meekness and humility to do things in your life, He's going to do that. And it says, "If you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that you will that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast. And, you know, this is where all the potential starts. This is where everything, if we allow the Lord and His Spirit to come into our lives, these are where the small changes from the seed begin to sprout and begin to grow. And these are the good things that come from God. And it's the nourishment that continues through being proactive and seeing and testing and praying for those things that God can do in our lives. These are the things that impact us and that we can see that impact us in a way that keep us strong, that keep us able to have the courage we need to be a light for Christ in this day in which we live. And it continues on in verse 161. It says, "And this is because you know, for ye know that the word hath swelled in your souls, and ye also know that it has sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand." And, you know, that's one of the things that you start changing directions on your thought processes and how you look and how you have a perspective on things. God helps you be able to see it from a different point of view, from His eyes, from how He sees things. It says, and in 164, it says, "And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, as the seed becomes and grows and becomes a tree, you will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if you nourish it up with much care, it will get root and it will grow and it will bring forth fruit. And if you don't nourish it and you neglect it, and you know these roots are shallow, we see a lot of times here in Arizona with some of the foliage and some of the trees that we have here. A lot of the times with this amount of rain that we have, roots tend to grow along the surface. And then when there's very harsh storms and winds, those trees, they topple over. But these things that God gives us help us be able to have our roots planted deep. And we have to continue to nourish those things. We have to make sure that we're taking in the Word of God, that the seed that has been planted within us is nurtured throughout its growth, throughout this spiritual walk, this journey, this life in this world. And what does it do? It says in verse 171, jumping down here, "And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the Word and nourishing it, that it may root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all which is pure." And so this is something that expands inside of us. And one of the things that especially when I like to share of the abundance that comes with some of the things that I do. And it's an opportunity to be able to share what God gives us. I tend to look and see that when people enjoy something, I like to share that which is enjoyed. One of the times, that's why I do have the mustard seed. It's because of the sauerkraut that I tend to make at home, and those are things that I like to share. And when I do make it, I like to share it because other people get to take part and get to enjoy that. And it's those things that God gives us that we should be sharing with other people that helps us continue to grow as well. It helps the Word of God continue to spread. And I did a little bit of research on mustard plants, and it's interesting. We'll get to that a little bit, but you know, the Lord has a work for His people throughout all ages until His coming. And the apostles, when Christ was crucified and He came back, He came and He spoke to the apostles. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons with which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and all and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, you know, these mustard plants, they're very abundant when they start growing. The seeds are abundant and they'll spread, and they spread quickly. And this is, you know, the things that we should be doing for the Lord in the same manner. We should be spreading that word of God, and it accomplishes that work of the gospel that God put into place, and he put us into place to be able to be a part of that. I did a quick Google search. There's approximately 2.6 billion Christians in the world today. Our brother was talking earlier about how many people there are in the world, approximately 8 billion people in the world. And there's a nice chunk of those people as well that are against those things of God and fight against those things of God. But I know that with the work and the protection that the Lord gives us, that his work and his word is going to go throughout all the world. We read that in the scriptures. That's what God designed for it to do. And, you know, there's a lot of situations where people are of influence, and God takes care of the people that are still learning and nurtures them. When I came into the church, there was a lot of influence that was transpiring in my life. And that's one of the things that I worry about with my kids, is the influence that the world can have on them. And that's something that we should be praying about, not just for my kids in particular, but for all those that come to God. That there's a lot of challenges that come to people that are still young in the gospel, and they're learning, and their peers and their social structure. There could be a lot of pressure against them to have a contention with that direction in which they're going. But the Lord tells us that he cares for us. It says in Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11, Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So families, friends, anybody that is interested in the gospel that comes to Jesus, he's there to take care of you. He gives us courage in this day in which we live. He increases our faith. There's all the things that we encounter where our faith can be growing. And it can start off as simple and as small as a little seed such as that. And we see that within our church. We see all of just the astronomical amount of faith and how much it's increased in this room is probably hard to fathom. And then you take all the people of the world that have seen the goodness of God and the work that he does in their hearts, and you put all that together, and you can see how God is continuing to do the things that he proclaims to do in the lives of people. And I think about that and how this just continuously spreads. And you see right there that there is one little seed, but you put all these little seeds together, and you can really see how it comes together. This used to be full, but I made a lot of sauerkraut, and that's why it's depleted. But again, you put all these children of God together, and you see, and you can start really seeing it grow and grow and grow, and it spreads, and it's the Lord's Spirit that does that. And that's something that, as it grows within inside us, we can help share that, help provide for those that are around us as God intended it for it to be done. And it says, you know, in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, this is to his disciples and his apostles, but this is something that all of us should be proactive in doing. It says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And this is what he was telling the disciples and his apostles. And I've been reflecting upon this because he's saying, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And those things that the Lord commands us to do, we should be showing those things by example. Those are the things that we should be doing. And people learn a lot visually, especially young children. They're very impressionable when it comes to their mothers, their fathers, relatives. They reenact those things that are around them. And so these are the good opportunities that we have, not just to the children, but to each other and to the people that we encounter in the places that we go. I don't know how many more new chapters I'm going to have in my life. I think about that. We had visitors, Ken and his daughter Cheryl. It's Michelle's dad and sister. And it was really a good opportunity that we had to be able to celebrate his 90th birthday. And one of the things, Michelle put together a video, kind of like a picture show with a bunch of pictures that we got to watch from the past. And it's incredible of how fast time goes by. And you look and you reflect back, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember that. And it's really amazing to see that there's all those times that you share with family and loved ones that bring back good memories, especially when the kids were little. I love little kids. And to be able to see some of the places that we were with the family and stuff, it's really a blessing to be able to see that. I remember, and I've stood up here and I've said before that prior to coming into the church and knowing of God, you know, there's really not much good things that I remember from that. There's not blessings that God gives that I remember prior to that. And it is interesting how when you have times of old brought back before you, that you're looking at things and you're saying, wow, that was really a blessing. Wow, I am really blessed time after time after time again. And I'm thankful for that. And that's where, you know, this little seed that was planted within me really grew. And I know that it continues to grow and it needs to be nourished. And the roots need to go deeper and deeper. And I know that one of these days that I'll return to the earth, but hopefully all that is provided to those that are believers in the gospel and God and know of Jesus Christ, that they continue to bear fruit for others. And then, you know, when we all are returning home to the kingdom of God and his goodness, that we are told, job well done, that those things that he called us to do, that we've done it, that we've ran the race, that we received those things that he put out there for us to learn from and to understand, to experience, that all those things helped us be able to have courage and to have understanding and wisdom and discernment and to show others the way. And it's something that is given to us by the power of God. And it says here, oh, I actually read it before I put the slide up. I apologize. So I wanted to read, so we have to skip that slide. Psalms 91, 1 through 3. He that dwelleth in the secret place. So if we dwell there with the Lord, if we have him in our heart, these are the things that he will do. He will take care of us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And, you know, this mustard seed here, I don't know if it's this one in particular, but mustard seeds themselves, there's yellow mustard seeds, there's black mustard seeds, there's a few different varieties of these of this seed. But the ones that I looked up, speaking of times of old, the ones that they had in the land was basically, it was more like a bush, and it would grow. It could grow up to 20 feet tall, and it would, you know, some of those, you could take a bush and make it look like a tree if you wanted to, if you trim it up and don't let it be a bush. But it's definitely something that provided for all that was around it. And I think about this process of a tree growing, and we have a couple trees that I've talked about in my backyard, and it's interesting because now they're big enough to where the birds are actually starting to come into the trees, and they're starting to check it out and see, all right, you know, maybe I could build a home here, maybe this is a good place to raise a family. And I was thinking about that, and I think about, you know, this place that God gives us, this sanctuary. That's what this tree is reflecting, this church, this building that we have here. It's a wonderful place to be able to raise a family. It's a wonderful place to be able to come when you're struggling, when you're tired, when you're sick, when you're struggling with the things of the world. It's interesting how God provides these places for His children. And, you know, I appreciate how and who and the diversity of people that it draws in. And, you know, it talks about the fowls of the air are lodged in the branches of it. And one of the things that we got to be careful of is this fowler. From the snare of the fowler. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because a fowler, using the example that is provided here, is a deceiver or an enemy. Brother Dwayne talked about that as Satan going around as a roaring lion. It's something that they prey upon the weak. But the snare of the fowler, one of the things is, you know, this snare, you can't really see it. And then typically the fowler will put the snare in the path of which an animal goes. And so, you know, metaphorically, this is like those hidden dangers that are in the world, that Satan, that darkness puts out there for us to be able to get caught in. It's things that are schemed by the wicked. There's all kinds of deceptions that can entrap us and ensnare people. Recently, and I like to joke with Alicia about this, because I'm sure everybody is getting those texts from the DMV saying your license is suspended, you need to call or send money to this app or whatever. Hey, Alicia, I just got this, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, no, don't click on it. You know, it's the spam you get in your email, and, you know, it's time after time again, and it happens just about every day now. As a matter of fact, working with the city, we have this big to do. I haven't done it yet. I gotta see what the deadline is on that, but it's cybersecurity. It's cybersecurity, and you have to go through it. And I said, they put out that cybersecurity training because of me. And they were messing with me. And they sent an email out, and they were phishing people. And so I was like, well, I clicked on it, and boom, you got fooled. And I was like, oh, that's really upsetting. And I was like, you guys are spamming me. I said, the only spam I'm supposed to get is in the kitchen on Saturday morning when I'm frying it. That's the spam I like. And I said, this is not fair, but such is life. Life is not fair sometimes, but, you know, that is one of the things that just happens to us that we can relate to. Satan's always out there, and he's putting these snares out there. It's not just with that, but so many things in our lives, so many temptations out there. And one of the things, as I was researching on these snares, is that they're indiscriminate. They don't care who you are. Satan puts these things out there. He don't care who you are. He just wants to catch you in them. And it's interesting when you look at the design of a snare, which has been used forever. I don't want to say forever. A millennia, we'll say that. And these have been used throughout time, and they're very, very dangerous, and they cause a lot of damage. They kill, they maim, and they do all kinds of things. And there's a strategic way to go about setting a snare. So Satan himself has this plan on his side as well to be able to put these things out there and try to entrap us. There's the loop, the placement, there's a trigger to it, and then there's a locking mechanism that is part of it when you're setting up these traps. And it says here, they are most commonly placed along existing animal travel routes or along anticipated paths of travel. And we're going to relate it to an animal. The animal passes through the loop and continues. The loop tightens around its neck, leg, limb, causing it to become immobilized. And the more that they struggle, the tightening effect is often amplified by that. And so as the more it pulls, the tighter the snare becomes and can cause more and more damage, and eventually death is the potential outcome. And that's what Satan does in our lives. And these are the things that Satan puts out there. And he just wants us to get, you know, to step in this little snare. And we see we got ourselves caught and everything gets out of control. And we don't know how to work our way out of it. We don't know how to stay calm. We don't know how to approach God. These are the things that Satan anticipates and hopes for. But God himself, we reach out to him and he gets us. And he saves us. He reaches out to us and he helps us be able to get out of these snares that Satan puts in our path, in this journey, in this journey that we go through in this life. And I'm thankful for that. And, you know, that helps us be able to grow too. You know, we all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all step in the wrong places. Don't step there. Those things happen to us, but God, he provides. And this mustard seed, when it grows, you know, if it's our parents, our grandparents, whoever the case may be, brothers and sisters, apostles in the church, you know, those things that people put in place for us to be able to have a sanctuary is provided by God. Those are the things that help us be able to see how good God is and how we can come to a place to receive rest, how we can be refreshed, revived, renewed, how we can have a place to be able to reflect and find comfort and to enjoy and to see the beautiful things in which God has provided in our lives. It takes time for a tree to grow, and we have a lot of good trees within our group, and they provide, and it's because of God that's helped transform me and who I am, and has helped me be able to see that, you know, despite how tough it can be, God's still good. And a lot of times I feel overwhelmed, but a lot of times I find that peace and that refuge in God. And it's in here, and it's in my heart. And I hope that, you know, this little bit of opportunity that you have to be able to reflect upon your life, to see that just planting that little seed in your heart, letting this Lord Spirit just work a little by little. One of the things that our instructor, my kids and I, we go and we do jujitsu. His expectation is just get 1% better every day. And that's kind of the same thing in your spiritual life, is just to try to do a little bit better every day. It's fine tuning. It's interesting how you could just make a little adjustment in your life and it could change the course of your whole family tree. How it can change the dynamics within your house, within your workplace, within your mind, and within your heart. God gives us these things to be able to see and understand and to share. It helps transform us, and it should be something that we share with others. And it's because of this. Psalms 121, it says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by the day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore." And I think about that, and the first thing that you got to do is find Christ in your life. Help others be able to find Christ in their lives so they can go from one little thing that God cares about so much over here and be a part of something bigger that God puts together, that God designed to be together And he is the head of that church, and he has that desire for all those children of the world to be able to come, 8 billion people in the world, and we have this opportunity to be able to be something for the Lord. And so hopefully that's something significant to you. Something that might seem so insignificant to us is very significant to the Lord. And I'm thankful for that because it's life changing. It's family tree changing. And it's nothing but blessings if you have the opportunity to be able to see pictures, see history, see where you were 25 years ago, 50 years ago, 60, 70, 80 years ago. You know, those are the things that you can really see if you have God in your lives. What a blessing it was. And so, you know, sometimes some of us, no matter where we're at, young, old, no matter where we start or get somebody else to start in their life to have Christ in them, it's an opportunity for them, from them, from that point on, to see all the beauty that God has to give. So I hope and I pray that each and every one of you will see that opportunity that God gives you and share that with others. And so you are a big part in all of the work that the Lord does. Don't think any different from that, and don't let the adversary make you think that as well. So may God give you the power to be able to speak kindly and with charity and to share with others the meaning of how significant God has been in your life, that it may grow in somebody else's life. So God bless you and thank you.